Well, good morning again, dear brothers and sisters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The richness of your word, Father, has no limits. It is full of love and mercy and justice. It shows us the fallenness of mankind and the heights of your holiness. Reveal it all to us today, Father. Oh God, this is such an important message for the sake of our own souls. We must not only hear but believe your word. And I pray it is so among God's people. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a copy of God's holy word, we are once again in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 as our preamble, and then on to our teaching verse today, found in verse 12. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was on New Year's Day of this year that we last visited the Ten Commandments. On that day, we learned of the perpetuity of the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, and why we celebrate it on the day that the Lord rose from the grave. Our Christian Sabbath remains a blessing to us from God, and we were told that we're to prepare ourselves each week for the day that's coming, this first day of the week, and so celebrate with the saints of God and be prepared to worship God Almighty in a blessed assembly. Today we are encountering the fifth commandment, and this commandment fixes our eyes upon the first of our earthly relationships, that being with our parents, a basic outline for today. There are two parts to that command. The first is that God has commanded it. God has commanded it. That'll be the first thing we look at. Under that are two sub-points. We'll get to them. That because he's commanded it, it's a blessing to the world, societies, and humanity. And it's a good Christian witness if we follow it. But the blessing side, the second main point, that there's promised blessing for obedience in the Christian life is our first sub-point. And the last thing I'll talk about is, what about if we have unsaved parents? What will we do with that? Well, let's just jump right in. Beloved, God has commanded this. God has commanded it. And we should take notice as we think about this, the ominous scene since it's been a while that is unfolding in Scripture. An entire nation, millions of people assembled at the base of Sinai awaiting God's arrival. They had consecrated themselves over 2 days, washing their garments, preparing, standing at the ready as the Lord had commanded, and a thick cloud begins to descend. The foundations of the mountain begin to shake, and there's thunder, and there's lightnings, and the trumpeting of this thunderous trumpet from heaven as Yahweh then began to speak audibly to the nation. And he said, I am the Lord your God. And you know the rest of that. And then real quickly, he went through them. You shall have no other gods before me because I'm the Lord your God. And because I'm your God, you shall have no idols. And because I'm your God, you shall not take my name in vain. And you shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember it and keep it holy. And then, quite extraordinarily, God shifts focus in the commandment. He doesn't remove it from himself, but he reminds us that now there's heavenly, this vertical, horizontally, the beginning of our earthly relationships. That with our parents, Therefore, the Lord commanded in the positive that we are to honor our father and mother, our fathers and mothers. And with obedience to this command, he gave the promise, which we'll discuss throughout this, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. I hope we'll know what that'll mean for us today. The basis of God's character was the authority for his giving this command, as all of these commands. It was his character, because he is God and his high holy character. And that is the key reason that we're to obey this. It is preeminent of all things because of God's high holy character. We really need no other justification. We could just leave it at that. But God gives us so much more. He has commanded it. And so we obey. You know, obedience to commands is expected in the life of a Christian. It's not unlike other commands. For example, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 21, he said, go make disciples. And then he said here in 21, teach them to observe all I have commanded you. He expects us to do that. It's an expected thing that we do. It's one of the many commands, and it's righteous because it's based upon God's character. Now, because of his character is what we want to look at. Parents were given to us by God, well, for a reason. To establish an authority in us and teach us certain things. To establish authority in us, to honor one's parents, is the beginning of order, of the order of all things for humankind. That's our beginning of how we see order in the world. And it's a reflection of the God who brings order to all things. So God giving us parents and our honoring of our parents is loving. And this too then is to be a reflection of his love. Therefore, this command is very much about the God of order. And we might think of it, well, it's about me honoring my parents. But it's really, its destination is honoring the God who gave us parents and brought order to all things. He has given us order through our parents, and we're to reflect his character by learning from our parents and honoring them. To violate such a commandment, well, we heard it there read in Leviticus 20, is really a sin directly against God. And I thank Wes for reading this and preparing to read it. I'll go back over verses 7 to 9. Leviticus 20, 7 to 9. God takes this very seriously. Almost shockingly so, how serious God is taking this. Listen to the pattern. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. For I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For anyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. Ooh, that's strong. But I want you to see a pattern here before we get into that. God is addressing his own character as the basis for calling them to live a certain way. Right? He is holy. He's calling them to be holy. And it's the basis of his own character that he declares that those who would curse their parents are worthy to die. That's their deserved destination is death. We need to be very clear so we don't misunderstand this. This is God's view of cursing parents. Now, we're not following the civil laws of Israel and then putting people to death today, okay? Probably a blessing for many of us, actually. Christ kept the law for us, but we're not free from obeying these moral commands of God. But that Christ kept it doesn't change God's view of the guilt of anybody in this world that would curse their mother or father. It's not removed at all. In fact, the guilt of such a person would remain upon them unless they are saved unto Christ. And if they've been saved unto the Son of God, then the guilt then is placed upon the Son of God. And they are declared righteous, and they are free of the penalty of sin because of the righteous act of Christ and his obedience. You may have sinned in this manner. I wasn't a very good teenager, folks. I definitely grieved my parents. You may have sinned in this manner. You may have cursed your parents, perhaps in your youth or in ignorance of God. But if you have Christ, brothers and sisters, you do not need to fear this condemnation. It's been removed by Christ. Notice that in Exodus 20 and Leviticus 20, it's very concrete, isn't it? There's no exception given by God. Well, what about blah, blah, blah? No, there's just no exception at all. None. We are commanded to show this honor even if our parents are ungodly. Or if they're Christian and they sin, they're living wicked lives. Even if they die, we are not to dishonor our parents. Gideon was a judge over Israel. He had 70 sons. Abimelech was a son born to him by one of his concubines. And when his father died, he wanted to seize power, so he killed all of his other brothers. What a massacre. And in doing so, he dishonored his father in the most heinous of ways. You know, he himself would die. He came too close to a wall, and a woman threw a rock down and hit him on the head and cracked his skull. I shouldn't laugh about it, but he was more ashamed of dying at the hand of a woman, and he couldn't see the heinousness of his life and what he had done to his father and his father's legacy and name. And so he thought it would be better to have his sword bearer run him through. And this was the end of Abimelech, who had dishonored his father in this way. Well, we should not only obey this command because God has commanded it on the basis of his holy nature. There's a benefit to humanity and societies for families to get this right and to train their children properly. It's good for humanity and it's good for societies. We see there in the second portion of the blessing given by God that those who honor their mother and fathers, they're to do so because that your days will be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. Now, this blessing has very much to do with the individual and the nation. There's a lot going on in Israel when this was given. The land promised was promised to the nation. Long life in the land was not promised unless this condition was met. And we'll find that's largely true about a lot of the blessings and cursings given in the Mosaic Covenant. The land given recorded in Genesis 15 and again in Joshua 1. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, we'd pick up in verses 2 and 4. Two through four. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. That shall be your territory. This is the land given to the Hebrew people by God. And in our fifth commandment, God promises them this long life if they would but honor their mothers and fathers. And in doing so, well, they will have honored God. He's saying, honor me through obeying this, and you'll honor your parents, and therefore you'll honor me. Without the honor being rendered, men and women would have sons that, well, they wouldn't obey their parents. They would dishonor them. And they wouldn't obey God, and they would chase after foreign women and foreign gods. These actions would cause to the breakdown of Hebrew society as the moral and civil and ceremonial laws were all distorted and broken throughout different times of their history, violated again and again by the people. Now for us as Christians, God has given us parents, and the authority of our parents points us to God and his greater authority. But between God and our parents, throughout our lives, there are a host of other people who have authority for us. And it is our parents and that authority established there that will largely set a course for us as we engage with these other authorities, such as teachers, Employers, military leaders, civic leaders, and the civil magistrates, all who can and do exercise appropriate authority over us, and they do so, appointed by God, for the sake of society. Imagine the breakdown of a society if mothers and fathers are cursed by their children, or dishonored by their children. What type of student would we expect from a student who curses his mother or her mother and father? What kind of employee would we expect? What kind of citizen would we expect in the world if they're willing to do that to their parents? My guess is they're willing to do that to their employers and to other people as well, and other authority figures. Now, we're living in an age where authority is being challenged at every level. And I'll be honest with you, the one place I think we see it so clearly, there's a lot of places, but one place that is alarming to me is in the school systems and the age at which this is happening. Authority that was once given to teachers is now challenged by the youngest of students. And it is not uncommon to have students literally, vulgarly cuss out teachers. And it goes nowhere. Unless there's some threat of violence. I'm not saying always, but it does happen quite frequently and broadly across this land. It takes strong leadership, strong godly leadership, to be able to work inside of that. Even when threats of violence come against teachers, sometimes there's little or no action unless there was actual violence. And even then, few repercussions really hold any weight. This is the breakdown of society that is tied to this command. A disordered home. Such wickedness only proves that God's command, and this is good, and it's applicable to all of humanity. Because of God's authority of order, he's given it to us. That's why. It proves the word of God also in the negative in Proverbs 17:25, that a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Well, bitterness and grief are not to be our legacy, beloved. That's not for us at all. We are to do as God's word commands and honor our fathers and mothers because he's commanded it. And it's good for our society, but it's also within the church. It's a good Christian witness for us, and we need to have that witness. In fact, now more than ever, we need to be a good Christian witness. It may be that we see it naturally. Well, of course I'm supposed to honor my mother and my father. I get it. And I've always done that. And we'll find that universally across humanity, it's a fairly accepted thing that you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to honor mom and dad. Most cultures in the world not only honor their mothers and fathers, but the elderly in general. They see them as sort of like mothers and fathers of the community. That's a God-given, ordered blessing to the world. Let me give you a few examples. We could do thousands, but in Hawaii, everybody that's pretty much older than you, that's your uncles and aunties, and you're to treat them with respect, including then moms and dads, of course, right? And uncles and aunties. To our extreme north, the Inuit people, when the elderly are unable to hunt or when the husband has died, the widow remains at home, and people in the community will bring food, fish, and meat, and bring wood for heat to help the people, the elderly people in the community. That all comes from this order that God has given to the world. It's an order by God given to humanity as a blessing. Now, honoring one's parents, we know that can't save the soul. But it does begin to speak to the idea of order in the life. And it's meant to remind us and reflect the order of the God who ordered the universe. Now, there's always people in the cultures that don't do this. They do not honor their mothers and fathers. But all who are of Christ must do so. We must. There is no exception allowed by God's word for the Christian to dishonor their mother or father. The man or woman who does not order their lives in this manner we'll begin to experience a type of poverty of a disordered life. Now, Proverbs, let's look at Proverbs for a minute. We'll be in Proverbs 1. General sayings of wisdom. Not necessarily promises, but generally true. This one's true. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, it was Solomon who wrote as a spiritual father these words for us to the Jews, these wise words that bless us to the day. Look where he begins to take us in the very next verses to mother and father again. Verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland around for your head and the pendants for your neck. Solomon's taking us to mom and dad as a reminder. Of course, he's speaking generally of parents who would honor the Lord because they teach us wisdom and knowledge of God. But if your parents were not godly and they didn't teach you that, when you come to know Christ, you've been given this personified wisdom, mother and father, through the knowing of God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So in a sense, you get there too. Wear these around your neck, knowing God and living wise according to His Word. And then he goes a little further down in verse 15, and he uses the endearing phrase. He says, my son, in a sense, Solomon is seeing himself as a spiritual father to the Hebrew people. And we ought to listen to our spiritual fathers, those wise men in God's Word. Wise fathers and mothers who are loving God's Word and are perhaps even our wise fathers and mothers that are teachers in God's Word. A wise father and mother will always point us to Christ as our true spiritual fathers and mothers would do. Look at the direction, though, of a foolish man a little further down in 18. He despises not only God's instruction, but he won't listen to his parents. He despises all of these things. And then he begins to rebel against godly parents. Open rebellion to God. His open rebellion to his parents is an open rebellion to God. He has dishonored them. Here, a foolish man will not listen to his parents' counsel. He will go down illicit paths. We pick up in verse 18. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Such people are setting a trap for their own lives, says God's Word. Now, wicked men like that and women, they don't arrive at that on day one. No, it began long ago in their youth in a rebelling and dishonoring in their homes of their parents, not wanting to listen to their counsel as their parents taught them of the Lord. So we have been taught that we are to obey the command of God first and foremost because God commands it. Secondly, because it's good for societies and nations. And thirdly, because it is our good Christian witness. We could and should continue listing, and we could continue listing many reasons. But I want to shift focus a bit to our section on the promise and talk about it more. We've touched it a little bit. The promise of God. God gave the Jewish people this command, positive moral. And because it's a moral command, it remains in effect in the new covenant. We got to go, how is this touching me? Because he said, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And we could conclude that this is a promise then for the Jews only. And in one sense, we would be correct. He's given them the land. He didn't promise us the land. unless you guys know something, then we'll go get our slice of pie, right? No, he didn't give us the land. He gave them the land. Now that nation has served its role. And whatever end there is to Israel, it will find its destiny in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah who is the head of the church, who has, through his own actions, his own deliverance and salvation, has torn down the dividing wall of hostility between the Jew and the Gentile. It's been removed. But what about the blessing in the Christian life? Jesus, well, I'll give us a couple examples. Let's start with Jesus and how this leads to our blessing. Our Lord honored his mother. There on the day of his death, as the Lord was lifted up upon the cross, he looked down, and in John chapter 19, we'll probably read this again at Passion Week, it said that when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus honored and loved and provided for his mother. The Son of God cared for his mother, Mary. He showed us the way of righteousness and love. And we too must honor our mothers and fathers then. And the Apostle Paul has no problem at all taking the Old Testament and saying, "And now this is your part, church." He goes to Ephesians 6, 1 and 3. Pastor Gary, a couple weeks ago, addressed this very passage as he talked about the sanctifying work in the families. Now listen, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And look what he tied it to. This commandment in the Old Testament. Obeying your parents is, as he says, "Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." Now Paul is rightly concluding that children are to obey their parents, Christian children, and that this is the first and primary way that they can honor them, is to obey them. That's one way. I hope our kids are listening, right? Paul extended this specific blessing that was from Israel and taught that it has a place in the life of every believer. It's not about the land, though. It's about something and someone greater than the land. Remember that Paul was largely speaking to a group of Gentile converts, but they knew things about Yahweh. They knew things about Judaism, and I'll bet you they knew the Ten Commandments. These were not foreign to them. In appealing to this scripture, Paul was teaching these Gentile believers that this command of God was universally wise and most certainly for the church and connected to the God of heaven who had given this order to mankind, and that there's a blessing for the church in carrying out this command. And generally speaking, when we do so, we enjoy the blessed presence of Christ at the center of our hearts and homes when children are obeying this. In and of itself, that's a great blessing. But I will say there's an even greater blessing than the land. And it is our inheritance that is founded with Jesus Christ, the eternal life that we have with him. And when I close today's sermon, I'll give us a reminder of just how wonderful that inheritance is. Christian children who obey their parents are a good Christian witness. But fathers and mothers who train, love Christ and train their children to render honor to them are fundamentally doing them a great service. Of course, they're leading them to Christ. But what else are parents doing? They're training them to live rightly in this world where there's authority that they will have to submit to. Live in this world as Christians and interact with the community. Young children are going to grow up to be young adults. And they have to learn to render proper honor and to appropriate authorities. It's a blessing to them to do so. It is a great blessing. And it's also a blessing to their future employers. And it's a blessing to the communities that they live in. But the opposite is true of that. When things haven't gone well, and that children who dishonor their parents will then grow up to be these young adults who should have no reason to believe that this promise that's given to the church now is theirs. Where there was to be peace and joy, they're going to find continued strife and brokenness and discord, or worse. Now, our New Testament reading today, it hit really hard. So I want to be careful and remember that I'm talking to the beloved of God, okay? That if you're of Christ, all right? But if you're of Christ and there's an action to do, then do it, okay? Listen to this word. 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 11. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, and we'll do it right here. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for the murderers, sexually immoral, the man who practices homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers. You could add a lot to this. It's not meant to be all-inclusive. And whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. In accordance with the gospel of glory of the blessed God with which I've been entrusted. Don't miss the order that's happening here. Paul tells us the lawless ones, the disobedient ones, the ungodly and profane ones at the very top of the wicked list of fathers. Think about this. The very tip top are those who would strike their mothers and fathers. That's the worst of the worst in God's view. Cursing is now turned to striking. Can you imagine? This list right here. Mothers, fathers, murder, sexually immoral. This is following and paralleling the flow of the Ten Commandments. You see that? That's where this is coming from. This is what's in Paul's mind. But the Ten Commandments. Some years ago, I rounded the corner here. There was a young boy in the hallway, very angry. And his mother knelt down to kind of get on his level and kind of be faced. So she knelt down and he welled up and full arm swung, slapped her right across the face. And I was shocked when I saw it because he, I don't know, how it was like he was going for the fences, right? And he hit her. And I said, and couldn't even contain it, "You will not hit your mother." And I went over to that boy and I grabbed him for a second and I gave him to his mother. Said, and I went and got his father. And his father came over and taught that boy a lesson. Severe, right? But that boy, even at that tender age, must learn this lesson for the sake of his soul, church. He needs to learn this lesson. You may not hit your mother. It's for his benefit that he learned that lesson. Shocking day, right? Each one of us has sinned against God. And you may have violated this command. You may have dishonored your parents. That behavior is profane in God's view. Cursing or striking, but either one, is a great sin against God in the church. And it is the highest order of offense. Do you understand how serious this is with God? And here's what I'm going to tell you. What is our answer to the ungodly and profane who would do such a thing? What is our answer to the unholy and disobedient who would curse and slap their mothers and fathers? It is the answer of the gospel. We must tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they are to believe upon Christ and live. They might hit us upside the head. They are called to repent of their sins and live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. That is the only answer, really, that the Bible gives us. We must tell them. And we'd be reminded, if we're Christian, that we are forgiven. You know, short of this saving grace, people who live on in this, the guilt and condemnation remains. If God has given you godly parents, you can honor them by obeying Christ and living holy unto Christ. And you're just going to be a blessing to them by doing that. And, you know, loving them and all these things. But when young men and women grow up, well, they get married or they go live in their own homes. And all of a sudden, there's kind of a little struggle going on there a little bit, right? Like, I love my mom and dad, and they're godly parents, but I'm in my own home now, and tension can happen, right? Tension can be happening, especially when somebody gets married. They're no longer under the authority of mom and dad. You know, a woman has an authority, who the head of her spiritually is her husband. And so they have to work together, and God sees them equal, but they have different roles. She's answerable for this role. She's no longer answerable in that way to mom and dad. And so we have to kind of get this all defined out a little bit. My dear mother-in-law, who's so kind, and now with the Lord a number of years, not an unkind thing I could say about her, except, and it's, don't take it wrong, but it's just this, that early in our marriage, well, wasn't going to say this, I won't tell the whole story, but the night before we were going to get married, right on the eve of our wedding, she says, "You know, Paul, you need to shave that mustache off. They look dirty." I said, "God bless you, Pat." I actually said a few things that were kind and sweet, and I can't tell the rest of it at the pulpit. I'd be fired. I was never disrespectful to her about it, but we had to begin to set some boundaries because Pat, who loved to coordinate things and do things, would have coordinated our lives every day. Every Friday night would have been, "Hey, we're having so-and-so at my house, and you guys are going to be here at this time, and you need to bring this dish," and it just would have been like that. So we had to learn how to set this boundary that was healthy, okay? And we did. So we're called to love our and honor our mothers and fathers. And when there's tension, if we place barriers of resentment and unforgiveness, if we begin to speak poorly of them, this is our sin. It's ours. We're going to have to own it. It's better to honor our mothers and fathers even when it's difficult. And I'll remind us, it's primarily in honoring this is obeying God. We have to remember that because I'm about to make it a little harder on us right now. Children who remain in their parents' homes, even as young adults, if they're in their parents' home as young adults, living under their father and mother's roof, they must obey their parents. That's it. If you don't like it, you'll get your own home and get married. I don't know. And it's a way of honoring them and obeying God's command. But not everybody has godly parents. That line was for my daughter, I'm pretty sure. She's an adult child living at home. Not everybody has godly parents. And this is where we kind of turn it up a bit. Because not everybody has godly parents. Or your parents were ungodly and then they got saved at a certain point. And there's a whole lot of mess down there. And then they changed. And I got a lot of hurt left over it. And this can be troubling. And if you have unsaved parents, let me say this to you. Because you are of Christ, you must still honor them. And it's going to get harder because we're going to work through some things. You must still honor them by forgiving them and loving them and faithfully praying for unsaved parents' salvation. And as far as it is possible, by being peaceful with them and so honor Christ. There's going to be, yeah, well, what abouts? And we're going to talk about some of those. Other parents have done things and are currently doing horrible things. Maybe unmentionable things. Wicked things. And weird enough, we must still honor them if we're of Christ. By living, here's how you're going to do it. You, Christian, live holy unto the Lord. And the best you can do in this situation is just pray for their souls. That's the best you can do. Then honor your Father in heaven by praying for their souls and living your Christian life. It'll be a witness and a testimony to them, either to the glory of their salvation or to their just condemnation at whatever point. Now, I'm only thinking right now of adult children whose parents were doing wicked things or are still doing wicked things. And you're going to have to exercise caution if they are. I'm not suggesting you go, you know, hang out with an offender that's continually offending. You might need to just stay away from that, okay? And pray from a distance. But for the sake of our souls, we must be a forgiving people. No exceptions. Jesus taught as much and commands as much of his church. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. "But if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's no yeah buts allowed. I've lived long enough to know that there are people who have suffered terribly great forms of abuse, mental, physical, and sexual, from those who were supposed to show us the order and goodness and wisdom of God and to render honor. Instead, there were parent or parents or parent and the next living guy that violated a sacred trust that God had given to us for a purpose that was good. The guilt is theirs. It's not yours. But it's still a blessing to your soul to forgive. It will free you. Where they sow dishonor, you will sow honor. And so honor your Father in heaven, your true Father. There's no honor, however, in harboring, as we walk in Christ, unforgiveness in our hearts. God commands that we honor them because of His high character. Let's be reminded that each one of us, if we were to get what we deserved, we would all be sentenced rightly and justly to hell. Let us be reminded that Christ paid the penalty of our sins, and therefore we have no right to be unforgiving because we've been forgiven so very much. Christ commands it in us, and He is the head of our lives. There was a time when my older sons had an ungodly father. I was raised by ungodly parents. My own mother struggled with physical abuse when I was a child. Not all the time, but when it happened, it was horrible. But I was there on the day she converted to Christ. I was there the moment my mother spoke her last words. They were Jesus and Jesus. And I was there when life left her and she went to be with the Lord. Somewhere between my painful upbringing, which wasn't always bad, by the way, we had great memories, just broken down by crazy violence in the middle of it, shocking the whole and upsetting everything. Somewhere between that and my mom going to be with the Lord, my mom praying, God giving me wisdom to lead her, to understand what grace is, and to actually take her and to have already forgiven her before I ever came there, and to be settled that no matter what she said, I was going to love her anyhow because Christ had loved me. She was on a spirit quest. She was in the middle of this tape and that tape of astral projection and other types of Eastern mysticisms. And I said, Mom, all of these are an abomination to God. She was a wayward, non-practicing Catholic. She needed the gospel, and she heard the gospel from her son. And we prayed that day. The Lord saved her. My mother spent the remainder of her life giving away their gambling money, and my dad was upset, and serving the poor. And later she would, in her church, she was ordained to go and visit shut-ins, and she would do this, and she spent all of her years doing this. There were people who were sick who couldn't come to church, and she would go and read scripture, and she was authorized to give them communion in her church, and she did, until she couldn't. That's an incredible transformation, isn't it? And this is what God does in all who are saved. I was so happy for who she became in Christ. And I know that my mother's with the Lord. Her life was never the same. Mercy and grace in my life, truthfully, was never the same after I met the one who gave me mercy and grace. I urge you, beloved, be a forgiving people. Even when it hurts, forgive. Forgive all of it. And pray. Pray if you have unsaved parents, others you know need salvation. And don't stop praying, because God just might save them. Pray. And in doing so, you will honor your true Father in heaven. As we close today, please take this command as seriously as God the Father intends for you to take it. It reflects His goodness, His love and mercy for us, His order of all things. That all who are of Christ are to love Him through their obedience to this positive and moral command of God. And we do so because He commands it. That's fine in relation to His character. We could do that, but we have more than that. We have the love of God and Christ in us. And we do so because we know it's right that we train our kids for the sake of humanity and order in the world. We do so because it's a good witness of Christ and it shows we are of Christ. It's true and it's good regardless of whether we had godly or ungodly parents. As you live in obedience to the command, be blessed, brothers and sisters. For though we do not live in the promised land of the Middle East, we have been given so much more. Here's my quote, 1 Peter 1:4. Our inheritance is one that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Amen. Let's pray.